Welcome to A Healthier You. I'm your host, David Christopher, with my co-host, Fawn. And this morning, as usual, we're going to talk about ways of making you healthier.
That was fast.
It was.
We got in here, we're still talking to Pat, and all of a sudden we're on the air. I can't believe it.
Right.
Merry Christmas to you too, Pat.
Well, it's the Christmas season, so we thought we'd talk about some Christmas herbs. But we ought to mention our sponsors first.
Of course. As always, we wouldn't be here without our sponsors. And they are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm, and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And without them, there would not be a Healthier You radio show. And so you need to go in and thank them for that and tell them that you heard us on the radio and you're coming in for some of the wonderful specials that they have, one of them being the olive oil lamps. If you haven't seen the olive oil lamps this year or last year, you need to come in and at least look at these. They work with, what they do is they burn olive oil, and olive oil is such a safe medium to burn because if you happen to knock over the lamp or the candle, it goes out. Olive oil does not burn. Actually, what happens is that it is drawn up through a wick that you make from the end of a Q-tip, and you light that, and it just feeds that wick, and it will burn for quite a few hours, depending on how big your candle is and how much olive oil you've used. So if you haven't seen the olive oil lamps, go in and check those out. And also, some of them are designed that you can use essential oils with them, and in that way, diffuse the oil scent into the air and be able to scent your home with all kinds of wonderful things for the holiday season. Right, David?
That's right.
Are we ready to start the show?
Well, fine.
Yes.
What herbs do you think of when you think of Christmas?
Do you really want to know? Your book isn't open to this one.
Okay, that's fine.
The one I think of, and I guess it is an herb, but the one I think of is, well, you have to remember, I was born in New Jersey. I lived an hour outside of New York City. And I remember going up and ice skating at Rockefeller Center and looking at the Christmas windows in Macy's and all the Christmas decorations all over the city. And it was a wonderful time in my life as I grew up in the East. But I also remember in New York City getting roasted chestnuts from the vendors.
You know, I don't ever remember that. It doesn't seem to be something we do out here.
No, we don't do it out here. But don't you remember you were back there one holiday season with me and we got chestnuts?
I remember.
From the vendors.
But I don't remember what they tasted like.
Oh, they're kind of mushy after they roast them. A little bit, don't you? And when we get them, everybody buys these chestnuts as they walk through the streets of New York City to warm up their hands because it's so cold.
They have kind of a sweet taste.
Yeah, it's kind of a sweet taste.
Yeah. Well, you know, chestnuts are interesting. Do you know that the major flora of North America was chestnut?
I didn't know that.
The chestnut trees just covered the land from Canada down to the southern states. It was like everything was chestnuts. I mean, there were chestnut trees were the predominant trees in America when the pilgrims came.
And that's probably why they're part of that wonderful Christmas song.
Maybe. Maybe it is. But at any rate, there's hardly any chestnuts left. Now, chestnuts were used for everything. They used to say that they were used from cradle to grave. You know, they'd use them for cradles, to make cradles. They'd use them to make coffins. They'd use them to make masts for ships because they grew really tall.
Did they use them in building homes?
They used them for building homes. They used them for just about everything you can think of. They also extracted the tannin from them and used them in tanning hides.
Hmm.
So in the leather industry, used them. I mean, they were a very, very useful tree. And you might think, well, maybe they were overused. You know, people just used too many of them and used them up. But that's not what happened at all. Basically, what happened to the chestnut trees is, this is all trivial stuff anyway, but what happened to the chestnut trees is that they brought in some varieties from Asia of chestnuts. And those Asian trees brought a disease with them that the Asian trees were immune to, but our American trees were not. And it wiped out, what was it, over 5 billion trees. 5 billion.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that was all across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Wiping
so we lost our chestnut trees. That's how it happened.
That's too bad.
Is introducing different species and things.
Well, who brought those stupid
trees? I don't know, but it sure ruined a tradition, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is you can still get roasted chestnuts in the streets of New York City.
Right. And those of you that live out here, if you find a chestnut tree, leave it alone. because it's probably a horse chestnut tree. Horse chestnut trees aren't even botanically close to the chestnut tree. And these, the seeds look like chestnuts, you know, chestnuts, but they're not. They're poisonous, and so you need to stay away from them. One application of the horse chestnut, which is one that we have here, and they're trees that are planted. They're not growing wild here. But the horse chestnuts can be used as an external application for sore muscles and fragile capillaries.
So you can make a fomentation or a poultice out of them?
Right. Mm-hmm. So that's what the horse chestnut. So stay away from horse chestnuts, but chestnuts roasting in open fire, yeah, that's great. What other herbs do we think of at Christmas time?
Oh, well, you know, ginger saw the mistletoe that I have, and I keep putting her off and putting her off, but she wants to hang that thing up someplace because she wants to start kissing people.
She doesn't need a mistletoe. She kisses people all the time.
I know
anyway.
She does, but she wants to put it right there, you know, at the steps as we go from the kitchen to the upstairs to the family room. She wants to put it right there so when people go up and down the steps, she can catch them right on the steps. So do you have anything on mistletoe today?
Well, you know, for such a kissy herb, you know, a mushy herb, it sure has a gruesome beginning. Mistletoe's it's a non-toxic, it's a gentle herb, but some people call it poisonous. Isn't it interesting that it have these total opposites? Some people say it's gentle, non-toxin. Other people say it's definitely poisonous, so, you know, particularly the Food and Drug Administration.
Yes.
But what's interesting is that even though they've given specific instances where, you know, they say this person did this and this person had this problem with it, you know, this person died from it or something, you know, the emergency medicine, or what is that? Whatever, they log all calls and stuff, you know.
Okay.
But at any rate, they haven't had one poisoning from mistletoe since they've had that system in place.
Hmm. Isn't it just the berries that are?
That's what they say. And you really shouldn't do a lot of berries anyway. I mean, you know. But even after three or four, you can get really sick. And especially for a small child, that could be a problem. But poison control hasn't got one case of anyone dying from mistletoe. So, you know, the truth probably somewhere in between. Now, I remember mistletoe as I was in my early years with the herbalism. There was a big controversy between American mistletoe and European mistletoe. You know, saying European mistletoe was the safe one, American mistletoe was a dangerous one, or that there was difference in the action of them, that European mistletoe lowered blood pressure and American mistletoe raised blood pressure. And, you know, so that's kind of what I learned back then. But new scientific research shows that the principles in European and American are pretty well much the same.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And as far as lowering blood pressure, yes, there are chemicals in mistletoe that will lower blood pressure. But guess what? There's also chemicals that raise blood pressure. It's interesting that herb would have both. And maybe it's something where the herb works no matter what the condition, that the one chemical kick in if it's needed or the other chemical kick in if it's needed. I don't know.
Well, it's like lobelia. Lobelia seems to be a catalyst in a lot of combinations. It's just, like your dad called it, was the thinking herb could tell which way, which action it should be using.
Yeah, maybe lobelia would be a good herb to use with mistletoe,
right,
if you're going to use it. There are so many other herbs that maybe that's not the best one to use. At any rate, we're talking about its gruesome beginning. And I guess the story is that the association with kissing goes back to a Norse mythology. Balder, the god of peace, was slain by an arrow made of mistletoe.
Huh.
When his parents, god King Odin and goddess Queen Frigga, restored him to life, they gave the plant to the goddess of love and decreed that anyone who passed under it should receive a kiss.
Hmm.
Now, the early Christians believed that mistletoe was a freestanding tree. And
but it's not now, is it?
Well, this is what they believed.
Oh, okay.
That it was a freestanding tree, and that's what they made the cross from. Okay. Some of the other names for mistletoe are Herbe de la Croix, which is of the cross, Herb of the Cross, and Lignum Crucis. So both of those meaning the tree of the cross.
Hmm.
But anyone that's familiar with the mistletoe knows that that's far from possible, you know, because mistletoe never was a tree. I mean, botanically, things don't change like that. Or even miraculously, I mean, mistletoe is a parasite. It's not a tree at all. Mistletoe grows in trees because the seed bores its way into the trunk and then grows from that, and it takes its nutrients and things off the tree. So it's a true parasite. And so it never was a tree. That became a little tree. It never was. But anyway, that's where it got its name, Tree of the Cross. No, the cross wasn't made for mistletoe.
Okay.
At any rate.
Interesting things.
Interesting. Mistletoe was first used by Hippocrates for spleen problems. And it's been used for epilepsy and falling sickness and for stroke and for a lot of things.
So it is all right to use. I mean, if you go into the herb store and find mistletoe, it would probably be a safe enough product to be able to use.
Probably. It's one that we wouldn't want to use a lot of. I think a lot of mistletoe could cause some problems. Mm-hmm. In fact, the eclectic doctors back in the last part of the 1800s, they warned against high doses and gave a lot of side effects from high doses. But those are real high doses.
But if it's used in combination, as part of a combination, it should be all right.
And that definitely decreases the amount in it. Yeah. And if you're going to use it straight, then the suggestion is like just a cup a day is all of the tea.
Okay.
They actually use mistletoe a lot in European medicine. And they seem to use it a lot in high blood pressure medication over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, mistletoe's used quite a bit over there. Well, what other herbs do you think of at Christmas time?
Well, let me think. We use a lot of... what do we use?
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. Thank you very much.
Nutmeg's an interesting plant. You know, it's the only one commercially that two spices are used off the same fruit.
I remember you telling me about that. Let's see, it's nutmeg, and the other one is mace.
Mm-hmm. That's right. The fruit's about the size of an apricot, or sometimes as big as a peach. When that opens up, it exposes the nutmeg. But around that nutmeg is this net-like substance, and that's the mace. And so they gather that and dry it for mace. And then inside the hard shell is the nut, which is the nutmeg. And then it's also dried separately. So there's two spices off the same plant. The only one commercially that does that.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. And, you know, in our wassail mix that we sell at the herb shops, we have a whole nutmeg in there. So people, our listeners, if you're out there and you want to see a whole nutmeg and you want to use it in your cooking, go down to the herb shop at 160 South State in Orem or 188 South Main in Springville and pick up a wassail mix, and you'll be able to add that to your apple juice and have a nice wassail, hot, warm wassail drink on these finally winter cold days and be able to see what the whole nutmeg looks like instead of ground-up crushed nutmeg.
Some of the things that it's used for, it's used to reduce cholesterol. Of course, garlic and ginger work better for that, but it's, both nutmeg and mace are used for that.
Mm-hmm.
They're both used for bad breath as mouthwash.
Nutmeg can be very strong, though. You have to be careful about how much you put in.
Oh, yeah, definitely, and you don't need a lot.
Nope.
As you know, if you've used it, you don't need a lot. You put a little bit in a quarter teaspoon or something for a tea, for a cup, and you can wash with that, and that'll help with bad breath, or just chewing on some. It's used for circulation, both of them.
Mm.
So you can add that to ginger, cayenne pepper, to increase circulation, nutmeg, and mace. In fact, cinnamon is very good for circulation, and so is cloves. So all of those seem to be real good for circulation. It's been used for diarrhea, to stop diarrhea, not to start it.
Oh, that's good.
It can be used for fevers and in hypothermia. So you're out there in the cold and somebody's going into hypothermia, boy, get some wassail down them.
Well, we know that cayenne pepper works well with that, and so nutmeg would be also a good one to use for that also, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep.
You know, another good one that heats the body from the inside out, one that we think about at Christmas time sometimes is bayberry.
That's right.
Bayberry, when I was reading, says that it's the next to cayenne, it's the second best herb to use for heating the body from the inside out. And I thought that was really interesting because I always think immediately, I think of cayenne pepper for hypothermia or nosebleeds or anything like that. And then this one brought up the fact that bayberry does the same thing or very close to it. And I thought, well, that was really interesting. So if you are out and you don't have any cayenne, find some bayberry or nutmeg.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's two plants that sound like, you know, there's bayberry and then there's bay. And they're entirely different plants. Bay is from the family Lauraceae, and laurel is another name for it, sweet bay, green bay, Roman laurel, Grecian laurel. Basically, that's the plant that was used when they put that wreath on the emperor's heads in
mm-hmm.
Rome.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one they were using, and it's the one they used for the Greek athletes. You know,
mm-hmm.
what, 700 years before Christ for the games, you know, and everything?
The Olympic
yeah.
games?
Well, I don't know if the actual Olympics started then, but for the Colosseum things and everything they did. So that's bay, and it does have aromatic properties, as does bayberry. And in fact, bayberry was traditionally used for candle making.
Fruit. That would be very aromatic, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and you can actually get wax from the fruit. Surrounding the fruit. So, yeah, bayberry is an interesting one, too. What other herbs do we think of at Christmas time?
I don't know. Are you trying to lead me on to something? Do you
no,
have something in mind?
No, not really. Just anything you can think of.
Let's see. We've talked about chestnuts and mistletoe and nutmeg and bayberry. I wonder if any of our listeners have a favorite herb they'd like to talk about.
I don't know. At any rate, cloves. That's one that I always think of about Christmas time. And cloves are well known for their pain-relieving qualities. So,
especially in toothache and that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Yeah.
And that also helps with bad breath. I remember your dad used to chew on cloves a lot as he was working with people face-to-face doing iridology and things. He used to have cloves in his pocket that he could pop into his mouth and freshen his breath as he was in these close proximity with other people.
Okay. Well, you want to take a phone call?
Do we have a phone call?
Sure.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. There's three things that I wanted to ask about. But first of all, it seems like one year you talked about frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah, we did.
And how those were used and the significance to the burial and death of Christ. Could you briefly mention that, and then let me ask another question?
Okay. Oh, you want to wait?
Yes.
Okay. Myrrh is still used today medicinally. Myrrh was used by the Egyptians for embalming. And frankincense, of course, is still used today for its sweet odors, its scents. And it's mainly used in incense for burning. And it's used for meditation. And it seems to give a spiritual overtone, and it seems to clear the air of negative vibes, getting into New Age stuff here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been used for purification and such. So purification for frankincense and embalming for myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like foreseeing the life of Christ and what he was going to need.
Mm-hmm. So those were very symbolic, that they probably go for his kingship or his something like that. Anyway, thank you for that. I have a question about an article that was in the Daily Herald on Thursday about cat's claw. Did you see that?
I didn't.
I saw that, but I didn't get a chance to read it.
Well, I just wondered if you would comment about it. It says it's getting a lot of recognition. And
it is, and I think the article said a little bit about the FDA was kind of at odds because they couldn't say anything negative about it, or let's see, how did that go? The article mentioned something about because it's as a supplement, the FDA couldn't do anything about restricting its use or something like that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And the people are making claims that it gives relief from arthritis, digestive, intestinal, and immune system results from that and a treatment for cancer and AIDS is what they're most concerned about. But yep. Another name for it is Una di Gatto. Is that correct?
Una di Gatto, yeah.
Okay, so would you comment on that herb and the reliability of it and how it could be used?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It's a fairly new herb on the market here in the United States. I got into a taxi cab in New York, and we were just talking about herbs, the cab driver and myself. And he was from South America. And anyway, his brother or something, one of his relatives, was cured of cancer with cat's claw. And it's nothing, you know, that he was out there selling the herb or anything, but he just said his brother took cat's claw and cured himself of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a lot of contact and experience with cat's claw because it is such a new one.
Uh-huh.
But the literature seems to laud it.
I mean, is there any restrictions on it? How would you use that?
I don't think I remember seeing any toxic levels for it. And it seems to work somewhat like echinacea also in that it seems to stimulate the immune system.
That's what it said.
But, you know, there is no magic bullets.
Yeah.
I don't care whether it's echinacea or cat's claw or cayenne pepper. There's no magic bullets.
I don't think there's one herb in the world that does everything. And that's why there's so many different types of herbs.
That's true. And the same thing, I mean, there are different herbs that will do the same thing in different parts of the country. No matter where you go, you'll find a different.
I'm sure there are. And I think it's probably interesting that cat's claw is becoming so popular. It's like in our area, if the local thistle, which just gets out of hand, you know, up in the mountains.
Is it blessed thistle?
Oh, if we had blessed thistle, then we'd all be out gathering it.
Oh.
But we just have this common European thistle,
uh-huh.
which they haven't found a medicinal use for yet. But if they did, like they did milk thistle, which brings very high dollars, you know, when they gather that, well, I think it would just be a boom for us because it grows so prolifically up in the canyons. Well, that's the same thing with cat's claw down there. You know, I've heard reports saying, oh, you don't want to wipe the cat's claw out. You know, you don't want to put it on the market and wipe the cat's claw out. I think anyone that lives down that area would say, take it all, please.
Yeah.
You know, you go walking through the jungles out there, you know, and just cut yourself all up because it's got sharp claws like a cat. I've seen it. It looks like cat claws.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they'd like to get rid of as much as they could. And so I'm sure getting rid of a pesky weed for good medicinal purposes is a boon for them and for us. I don't have, we have to worry about wiping it out either.
Mm-hmm. So it's not too expensive then?
Only that it's imported.
Uh-huh.
I don't think the price is really high, no.
Okay, the other question is, I'm hearing, and a lot of people are giving out tapes, like Dead Doctors Don't Lie and Death by Default, these are the two that I'm aware of that indicates that none of us have enough minerals, you know, that there's 75 and we aren't getting all these minerals. And if we take these things, then it would be a cure-all. You know, it's going to cure everything. Do you have something like that? Would you comment on that?
Yeah, I'd like to. I do believe that's one of the main problems in today's society. Is that we're lacking trace minerals, and that's why we just seem to eat, and never be able to be satisfied because we're not getting the nutrients that our body's craving. So I very much agree with that. However, I don't agree with the principle that you can take trace minerals and then totally disregard all aspects of health.
Uh-huh.
And I've heard that lecture out there, you know, where you can just eat anything you want to eat, just get your trace minerals, and no, you're going to die from heart disease.
Yeah. So you do all the other things, and then it won't hurt to take the other thing about this is that it's in a form that your body can assimilate, apparently.
And that's debatable.
Oh.
You know, I've heard that they've been getting really good results and such, you know, but as far as we're concerned, the very easiest minerals to assimilate into our body are the ones that are taken up in the plant life. Not plant life that's been fossilized. But we're talking plant life that's growing.
Well, on your vital herbs, does it contain all of these trace minerals?
It does.
How would we get them from herbs?
Yeah, it does. And what they did there was unique, is they went out into a virgin soil that had dinosaur remains on it. You know, I mean, it's just an old area with fossils and things there. And in that soil, they're growing organically alfalfa, which goes 50 feet down in the earth and picks up all these minerals. And they're growing barley and kamut, and then they harvest it fresh, they juice it, and when it's the fresh juice, they flash dry it under 100 degrees, and they capture everything. It's a really unique process, and it is a unique process. It's one that that's the only one out there that I know of.
So does it contain all of these trace minerals that they're talking about?
You know, the analysis hasn't been done, but my estimation is that it does. You know.
So how much would you have to take of it in a day to get enough?
Well, the label states 2 to 6 capsules 3 times a day. And that's probably about what's needed. The thing is when you're taking trace minerals in a plant base, mm-hmm. it's very easily taken into your system. When you're just taking rocks and grinding them up, then it takes a lot more of those to push their way through.
Mm-hmm.
The body usually doesn't want to assimilate that unless there's nothing else that it can take. And then your body will take up almost anything. You eat aluminum foil, and if you haven't got enough aluminum from plant source, your body will take it up, and that will cause damage.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a really good example of the difference between the aluminum that's contained in ginkgo and the aluminum that is in tin foil.
Mm-hmm.
One will damage, and the other definitely won't, and you need a certain amount of aluminum in your system.
Mm-hmm. Well, are you going to make a new product with that competes with these?
Well, the product is Vital Herbs.
That is it.
That's our product. Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for your call. Interesting calls.
Interesting calls indeed. And if we're going to open up the phone lines, and the number is 224-1400 if you're in Salt Lake. The number is 570-1400 if you'd like to converse with us this morning. But we are, I'd say in another minute, going to do some advertising. So until then, we're just going to talk a little bit until we can do our little bit of advertising and turn our tape over, and then we'll take calls in about a minute and a half to 2 minutes. So if you call in, just hang on the line for just a short time, and we'll get to you just as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I give them those numbers.
The number again is 224-1400, or in Salt Lake, the number is 570-1400, and that's the best part of the show is our callers, don't you think?
Right.
And so maybe for a few minutes I can advertise some of the December specials that are happening at the Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norham and 188 South Main in Springville. And maybe we could get Larry to stop the tape that he's taping in there for us and turn it over.
That's not hard. Narrow waters.
If you're going to go harvest OSHA, take somebody with you that knows what you're doing, because it looks just like poison hemlock. Poison hemlock will kill you like that. There was a lady that took a little piece of the root, a little tiny piece of the root, put it on her tongue, and the left side of her body is paralyzed. And it looks almost just the only difference is that hemlock has purple stripes and splotches going clear up the stalk. OSHA does not. Little smaller plant. They have umbrals, you know, like an umbral looking thing. The leaves look a lot the same. So you need to take somebody, once you harvest it though, and smell it, you never make another mistake, because it's got such a unique smell to it, you know.
Right there are those jars.
No, yeah. What do I want to make you guys taste now? Oh, I'm going to get you to taste some of this black cohosh. I'll tell you about black cohosh. I take this three times a day because I'm starting to go through menopause, believe it or not. I'm getting work till I'm getting a little bit. This is a natural, not even female, this is a natural hormone for people to balance their hormone calories. And, I mean, I was getting hot flashes. I thought I was going crazy or something. I thought, no, this can't be happening. Well, I called my mom. I was like, hey, Mom, oh, what's going on? She tells me, oh, yes, here you go. So I made an old Mormon midwife. And I've been taking this for a couple months. It's like I'm like a regular person. It's absolutely amazing. This is good for men, too. Sometimes.
Okay.
Caller number two, you're on the air.
I don't know which number I am. Is that me?
Oh, okay. I guess the engineer's going to start telling people what numbers they are.
Okay. Well, that's fine. What would you recommend herb-wise for someone who has been an alcoholic for years, over 30 years probably now?
Well, what I look at first is what is alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Is everything taken out of the grain? And it's a very unbalanced product, and so you get alcohol from grain, but there's no nutrients there.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the first thing we'd want to do is use a lot of grains to counter the ill effect done from the alcohol.
Okay.
So the alcohol has actually depleted the body of a lot of nutrients, and they're all in grains. And so whole grains is one of the best things to use. We would take those grains and simmer them and take the water off of them,
mm-hmm,
and drink that water, a lot of that.
Okay.
And we'd eat the whole grains, and we'd do sprouts, and we'd do a nutritional yeast, the Vital Herb formula. Those are the things we do. Just get a lot of nutrients in.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's an imbalance that's been created there.
Okay. He feels that he's addicted to it, which obviously he is, and he admits that.
Obviously.
Yeah. But he looks at it as a medicine now that he has to have it. I've heard of something that, and I can't remember which one it was, and I don't remember who said it, that helps take away the desire of alcohol. Do you know of anything?
Oh, yeah, it's that vine that was introduced down to the southeast part of the United States that's just taken off. What is the name of that? Doggone, it's just on the tip of my tongue. I can't think of it. But it's a funny name. It's a Japanese vine that was introduced in the south part of the United States, and it's just spread all over. And I believe Nature's Way puts out the single herb in capsule form, and I just can't remember the name of it right now. If somebody can think of that, give us a call, because it's not in the hardware in my brain. It must be on the software, and it's not put in.
It'll come out in a moment, probably, yeah, huh?
Probably.
That's right. Okay.
I think it starts with a K or something.
Okay.
Kuzuk. I can't remember.
Is it actually from Japan? In fact, he lives there now, so perhaps he'll have a good source over there. But it's available here, it sounds like.
It's a Kudzu? I think it's something like
that. If you'd say it, I probably wouldn't remember.
K-U-D-Z-U. Kudzu, yeah.
And that is available here with Nature's Way.
Nature's Way actually puts it out commercially, yeah.
Just by itself. Okay, great. Well, I wish you both a Merry Christmas, and thanks for your help.
Well, Merry Christmas to you, too.
All right. Bye.
That was a nice call. And, and anyone that's heard some of these things about, you know, the benefits of alcohol, it's total baloney. You know, I can't believe the medical profession would actually latch on to things like that, you know, that alcohol is good for blood pressure, or alcohol lowers cholesterol, or things like that. You know, if they look at the studies, it had nothing to do with alcohol at all. It had to do with red wine. And it wasn't the alcohol in it at all. It was the grapes. And it was the red grapes, particularly. And so red grape juice did the same thing as red wine. So it had nothing to do with alcohol at all. So this baloney out there from the medical profession about alcohol is medicinal is just exactly that. It's baloney.
Exactly that.
Has no truth whatsoever. At any rate, let's go back to the phone lines. Caller number 3, you're on the air.
Hello. I had a question about how to handle a high fever that goes up to 104 and slightly over in a 4-year-old with also is quite lethargic, that type of situation that's gone on for 3 or 4 days. And I did get your information from last week's program about the cough syrup with onions and honey, and some also mentioned raspberry tea and also catnip enemas for older children. I was wondering if there's anything else is that a serious signal when they're lethargic and act that way?
Yeah, I would think so. And you know that herb we talked about the first of the program, bayberry, where Samuel Thompson said it was the next best thing to cayenne to stimulate the body. And also the other reference we read was about its fever-reducing capabilities. So that's two things for the same person that would work. You want to get rid of the lethargy with the stimulating effect of bayberry, plus lowering the fever with the its qualities there. So bayberry sounds like a really good herb. And then the way we always deal with fevers is we put them in a tub of hot water and give them a lot of yarrow tea and let them sweat it out.
Oh, hot water.
Not so hot that it will
burn
the skin. But when we do it to our children, and we've done it to infants as small as 3 months old, we start the water out at a nice warm temperature, and then we increase the temperature every so often, add more hot water to the tub to have their skin turn slightly pink, not burn it, but just to turn it pink. And then as for babies, get them to suck in a washcloth or anything you can get, any way you can get liquid down them. For older children, 4 years old or so, have them take anything they will take, water, raspberry tea, chamomile tea, peppermint tea.
Not Coca-Cola.
Mm-hmm.
Any juices, anything you can get down them while they're in the tub to help them get liquids into them. They may enjoy sucking on a washcloth too, who knows? But they just need to have that liquid in them. Maybe they'd like sucking on ice cubes. Anything. And then when you're done, when they start to sweat, when you see beads of sweat come on their nose or around their hairline, then you shower them off with cold water to close those pores so that the fever can keep its... So the fever will keep going inside and the pores will be closed to keep that going. And then you dress them warmly and hold them and love them and kiss them and hug them and have them go to sleep.
See, fevers aren't such a bad thing. We know that with the rise of temperature, that's not conducive for the invaders, the bacteria or virus, and also incubates your immune system. So a high temperature really isn't such a bad thing. The main thing we want to do is get plenty of liquids in so the body can handle it.
Now, bayberry... is there just bayberry that you'd make a bayberry tea, or
yes, you can go to the herb shop and they've got just bayberry in single herb.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then you just simmer that for a few minutes and then have them drink that.
Yes.
And would it be quite tasty or distasteful for them, or would you add honey to it, or?
My experience is most herbs don't taste good.
Yeah. One too, but I wondered, would honey help offset some of that?
Well, thing? We don't want to sweeten it because a lot of times it's the bitter taste that's so medicinal, and you actually have to taste it.
But she could make that into a combination. She could add some other herbs to that to help cut that taste.
Right, and the herbs we usually like to use are ones that have flavor to them. A good one to use in this instance might be cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Or peppermint.
Peppermint. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay, so the lethargy would be a signal that they need some help badly then.
Make sure you keep using the retention enemas and catnip enemas to help keep liquid in the body, because that's the most important thing, is to keep liquids going into the body.
Okay, very good.
Good luck, and I hope she's better by Christmas.
All right, thank you so much. I appreciate your program.
Bye-bye.
And we have to realize that millions of pores are going to be letting perspiration out, and those millions of pores need to have something, to, you know, liquid in there. So that's the way that works. A lot of liquids. Oh.
A lot of liquids. And when we say a lot of liquids, we don't mean a glass every day. We mean a lot of liquids, like 5 to 6 glasses every day.
Right. Okay, let's go back to the phone lines. This would be caller number 4.
Hello, you're on the air.
I guess we lost caller number 4. Should we go to caller
number
5?
No, I'm here.
Oh, she's there. Go ahead.
My brother just called me and said that he'd heard about an herb that was good for prostate. And I don't know anything about it, but I said I'm listening to a radio program right now that might can tell me what to do for prostate. And I'll just hang up and listen to your answer if that's okay.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about laying down or about a male organ. For the prostate, there's a number of herbs that really work quite well. And we really seen some good results with saw palmetto. Saw palmetto is a very, very good herb for the prostate. In fact, what is that drug they have on the market for prostate? Proscar or something? The only one that's approved for prostate or something? You know, it takes several months for that one to work, whereas saw palmetto works in about 6 weeks. So saw palmetto is much more effective than the drug that's its competition out on the out in the market. And saw palmetto works very, very, very well. Did you read that little article in the paper about gathering saw palmetto down in the south?
I did.
Yeah, the price went up on saw palmetto berries, and it's like everybody and their dog were out gathering them. And it caused some problems because, you know, I guess snakes like to curl up in the saw palmetto plant, so when you go to pick the berries, there's a snake, and ah! So it can be quite hazardous gathering these herbs sometimes. And so I'm always amazed that herbs are as inexpensive as they are with the hassle that people have to go through. Gee, do you know how sharp those saw palmetto leaves are? I mean, it's like spikes. And I wouldn't want to go out and gather them. I've done herb gathering before, and it's tough stuff. But when you got sharp spikes like that, I think I'd pass. So I'm amazed at the price we get herbs for. It's a really good deal. Just try gathering them yourself and see.
What other herbs?
But anyway, saw palmetto is one definitely we'd want to use. Also, we have to realize that the problem with the prostate problems is that testosterone is being retained in the prostate gland. And then that's retained in there and breaks down to hydrotestosterone. And the hydrotestosterone then causes swelling of the prostate. And so the saw palmetto definitely reduces the swelling. But we have to realize the cause of the problem is that the testosterone is being retained in the prostate. And so we want to work on the organ that's responsible for that, and that's the liver. If there's too much testosterone being retained by the body, that means the liver is not breaking it down properly. And so we want to work on the liver. So that's another thing we want to do with prostate problems. And any bitter herb works on the liver. And we particularly like barberry. That's a great herb. Dandelions are good. Milk thistle, all those are really good bitter herbs. If it's really bitter, then that most likely will work on the liver. And so some good liver therapy. Also, Dr. Christopher put together a formula to help with the urinary tract flow. And a lot of times when you get swelling in the prostate, then you back up urine and then things crystallize and then you get gravel in the urinary tract. And so in combination with saw palmetto and working on the liver, we'd also like to take that prospolate formula, which will help with the urinary tract flow and get rid of any infection that would be there at the same time. So that's another thing we could do. Also, there's a plant out of Africa called Pygium africanum. That seems to be very good, too. So those are the things we'd use for prostate problems.
Exactly. And do you want me to give the phone numbers again?
You can.
The phone numbers are 224-1400, and if you're in Salt Lake, it's 570-1400, and this is the best part of the program. If you're not listening now, then you're missing a good program here, because all of our callers are good callers
mm-hmm.
and have good questions to ask.
Let's go to caller number 5. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yes. Got a question of someone who has some cold sores, but not on the inside of the mouth, but on the outside, lips. We heard your program earlier about how to deal with that problem. I'm just wondering if that would also be effective.
Yes, especially applied topically. That CSR formula they have at the herb shop, we'd put that directly on the cold sores.
Okay, great. And there's any, how many times a day would you do that?
We would just apply it as often as we can think about it. Just carry it with us and just keep putting it on, dabbing it on all day.
So no really set number, just more often the better, I guess.
The more often the better, yes. Mm-hmm. And also, the CSR can be taken internally and swished in the mouth for 3 or 4 minutes and then swallowed.
3 or 4 minutes, that's a long time when you're swishing.
Okay, well, how about 30 seconds?
Okay. Especially when you do that combination. 3 or 4 minutes would be a very long time.
As long as you can on the swishing, too.
Okay.
And also, we like to have people drink a lot of raspberry tea and stay away from foods that are going to aggravate the condition. Dairy products, sugar, white flour, those types of things.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Also, beware of cold sore remedies prescribed by the dentist that you shouldn't be taking.
We had an interesting call from a pregnant woman that was told by her dentist what to do for her cold sores. And she told the dentist, well, I'm pregnant. Is that okay? And he goes, fine, no problem. Then she goes home and reads the insert, you know, that are required by law to be on there. And it says, not to be used by pregnant women. So, you know, just because the guy's a professional doesn't necessarily mean he knows what he's talking about. I mean, his own drug that he prescribed says definitely stay away from it. And so, you know, read the inserts. And if it cautions you, be concerned with those cautions, really.
You know, and that's one nice thing about the Dr. Christopher products is that there are no inserts that you have to read.
You don't have to read inserts because there are no side effects.
There are no side effects with the Dr. Christopher products.
That's what's nice about herbal products. Especially Dr. Christopher herbal products, they're tonics, and you don't have to worry about them.
That's right.
I love them.
I do
too. Let's go back to phone lines. Caller number 6, you are on the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
In response to the man that called in about alcoholism.
Yes.
In the December Health and Healing book, there's a page on that. They recommended L-glutamine and L-carnitine.
Okay.
And if he would like to call me, I'd be glad to send him a copy of that.
Okay, what's your number?
756-6447.
Okay, great.
Or anyone else, I'd be glad to send a copy.
All right, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
And I'm sure those are some of the things that are missing in whole grains that
exactly.
We want to get, so we want to get those whole grains down. Caller number 7, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
I was wondering if you had any herbs that would float down or that can help diabetics?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, diabetes is something that we're really interested in lately, and we've been having some really good success with. basically, what we want to do with diabetes is, number one, change the diet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with diabetes, what we have to realize is that we've abused the privilege of sugar. And so we don't use any sugar, and we don't use anything that tastes like sugar. So no artificial sweeteners, no sweets. We get away from the sweet taste. So that's the first thing we want to do.
Well, so then in other words, what you're saying is that we have to change our taste buds habits.
Yeah.
And change our way of buying.
And you will change those habits by just staying away from it. So it's just like cold turkey, nothing sweet. Okay. Number two, there's been a lot of studies showing a link between diabetes and dairy. And so we stay away from dairy totally. No dairy, absolutely no dairy for diabetes. Boy, stay away from that. Now, the herbs that we use, there's an herb that grows on the Indian reservations and throughout a lot of southern Utah that is a specific for this condition, and that's Juniperus monosperma. It's commonly called cedarberry, and it's the juniper berry that's got one great big seed. Most of them have like 3 to 5 seeds in them. This one's only got one great big cherry stone-like seed. And that's the one that we use. Now, that's contained in a product put out by the herb shop called Pank Tea. Excellent, excellent product. And so there's one thing we'd use. Also, we have to realize that with diabetes, we're not only dealing with a pancreas problem, we're also dealing with a liver problem and a adrenal gland problem. Anytime we have a blood sugar regulation disorder, we're going to have to work on those organs, too. And so the bitter herbs that are contained in the LG formula and then an adrenal formula with licorice and mullein and things in would be really good. What else, Vaughn?
Well, like I was trying to say before, you need to change your buying habits when you go to the grocery store to buy food or whatever. try to buy more things at the health food store, and then if you do go to the grocery store, stick more to the produce department.
So fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, nuts and seeds.
Right.
And the meat consumption should be limited to 2 ounces a day.
If that much, if you need meat at all.
Getting the protein we need isn't a problem. Do you know, they did research showing that as far as the World Health Organization standards and things are concerned, even American vegetarians exceed the protein needs for world standards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. You know, they're always talking about vegetarians don't get enough protein. That's baloney. American vegetarians get way too much protein in comparison with what's needed. So, the caller still on the air?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did that help?
Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call.
All right, bye.
We go rambling on.
Rambling on, I'm just totally disregard our
callers.
I'm sorry. Well, let's go to caller number 8. Good morning, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Great show.
Thank you.
In this season, my father basically gets a lot of gout. Can you talk about what causes that and basically how to take care of that?
Sure.
And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the reason it happens seasonally like this is because we tend to do things in merrymaking that we wouldn't do normally. And so we eat a lot of foods that we normally wouldn't eat. And that has a lot to do with it.
Well, also, we eat a lot of foods that we normally wouldn't eat in a concentration at one time.
A concentration at one time, yeah. And that does tend to bring on gout. Gout is a problem of digestion. It's a digestive problem where your body's not breaking the proteins down properly. And so you basically get a lot of uric acid in the system. And that then is contributory to gout. And so what we have to attack gout is at the basic digestive disorder problem. And so we want to be able to break our foods down properly. And while we're doing that, we want to limit those foods so they're not causing more problem as we're trying to be able to break them down. And so we do want to eat small amounts of meat, not large amounts of meat. And our heavy protein foods and things, we need to just reduce what we're doing there. And then to be able to break them down, cayenne pepper is one of the best herbs for stimulating hydrochloric acid production. We want to make sure we're not salt deficient, because if we're salt deficient, we're not going to be able to break down our food.
But that doesn't mean shaking a whole bottle of salt on your food either.
No, it doesn't. The ratio of potassium to sodium is, I believe, something like 14 to 1. And so we do need to get a lot more potassium-rich foods into our system. Plus, we do need to have sodium also, sodium chloride. So I wouldn't do just salt from the store. I would really think about something natural like dehydrated sea salt.
Real salt.
That real salt out of the herb shop and stuff. Those are things I'd look at, and they're not so highly concentrated. And, you know, some salts they actually add sugar to, so you use more of it.
Yay!
Yeah, whoop-de-doo.
Anyway, what are some other products? Doesn't Dr. Christopher have a product for gout? Are you?
Yeah, and then as far as herbs are concerned, yeah, this is an herb program, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
As far as herbs are concerned, the desert herbs seem to work really well. Herbs that grow out in the desert, chaparral, yucca. Is another one that works extremely well for this particular type of condition. And in fact, they have a combination called AR1 that has yucca in it, and a very, very good formula. So those are the things we would use for that.
Exactly.
We got to talk about our sponsor, or we might not have a sponsor.
No, we only have a few minutes left on the program. The sponsors are the Dr. Christopher Herb Shop at 160 South State of Norm and Mother Nature's Market and Herb Shop at 188 South Main in Springville. And you need to get in there and get your free cup of wassail. Every time you go to the store, they'll offer you some wassail, and you don't want to miss it now that the weather is finally cold. And pick up a package of wassail mix to take home and make for your family, especially on Christmas Eve or Christmas.
Yeah, and if you buy $25 worth of wassail, you get a free loaf of bread.
You don't have to buy $25 worth of wassail, just $25 worth of anything.
Anything, right.
No, actually, it's not 25, it's 20.
Do you know what has been going like hotcakes there?
The waffle mixes.
Well, yeah, besides that, for a gift.
What?
The brand new edition of the School of Natural Healing.
Oh, it's a beautiful book.
We have been sending so many of those out. It's just like stacks and stacks of the School of Natural Healing has been going out. And it's hot off the press. The revised edition, it's a lot easier to use. It is the book for someone that's interested in herbs. I mean, if you're going to give a gift, the School of Natural Healing, the new edition, fantastic. Can't find the old edition anyway. I mean, because those were gone a long time ago.
I have a copy of the old edition.
No, I mean for sale. There aren't any. But the new edition, wow. You know, they've been going really good. And it's so nice. It's such a nice book.
Easy to use.
It's been a lot easier to use. A dean there at the school really put in a lot of time to help organize
A year's worth of work.
A year's worth of work, yeah. Oh, wow. We're almost out of time. Let's take that one call real quick. Is it still there? Okay. Hello, you're on the air. Last call, number 9. Well, I guess they're gone, so we don't have to worry about that.
We're out of time.
Well, it looks like we're out of time, so I think the music's going to go. And let's say one more thing about the herb shop while we're waiting for the engineer.
The herb shops wish everybody in the valley a merry, very, very Merry Christmas and hope that you will have a healthier holiday season.
There's the music. Boy, what else can I say? Except be happy. Have a healthier you.
Sneak on out beneath the stars and run.